Joining us is John Line, BBC Tehran correspondent. He's in Cairo, Egypt this morning. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning.
We want to talk about an Iranian nuclear scientist who says he was kidnapped by the CIA. He's taken refuge in the Iranian intersection of the Pakistan embassy in Washington. Conflicting stories about who exactly this man is, helped by some YouTube videos circulating that offer accounts of what happened to him. John Line, is this a case of some sort of extraordinary rendition? And what are we learning about the case of Shahram Amiri?
Well, yes, as you say, lots of contradictory reports have been emerging all the way along. All the way along, the Iranians say he was kidnapped. The United States has denied that, never said really on the record what did happen, but sources told various news organizations that he defected and was giving good information about the Iranian nuclear program. Well, now Mr. Amiri has turned up in this Iranian diplomatic mission in Washington. That's been confirmed both by the Iranians and by the Pakistanis, who look after Iran's diplomatic interests in the United States. So it seems that much is true. How he got there? Well, that's the question. If one has to give the Iranians the benefit of the doubt on this. They say he was kidnapped and then escaped. I suppose the other option would be, and it's quite a possibility, that the Iranians have managed to put pressure on him via his family still back in Iran, and certainly that is a technique they use. I'm well aware of that. Many Iranians, even exiles of long standing, are quite afraid of speaking out and of the long arm of the Iranian government wherever they may be in the world. So that is a possibility. I suppose it's remotely possible they even kidnapped him themselves and took him to where they wanted to.
Well, the conspiracy theories grow many and varied in a situation like this. Let's take the one principal fact that you outlined at the beginning there, supposition. Iran accusing that the scientist was abducted by the CIA while on a pilgrimage to Mecca or Medina in Saudi Arabia. If that were true, how sensitive an issue would that be between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, or between even Iran and Saudi Arabia?
Well, yes, indeed, because the Iranians actually say that it was between the Saudis who kidnapped him and then handed him over to the United States. Look, relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia are not good at the best of times, so if that were proved to be the case, it certainly wouldn't help matters between the two countries. In Tehran, you'll see the Saudi diplomatic missions are actually more heavily protected and guarded than even the much-hated British. Of course, there is no U.S. embassy there now. So, yeah, relations aren't good there. I think the implications of this are going to stretch back to the United States. We're looking now at potentially a diplomatic standoff. After all, under diplomatic rules, America can't go in and take Mr. Amiri out of that mission, but they can prevent him leaving, and they can certainly prevent him going to the airport and flying off to Iran. So I think some negotiations are likely to ensue. And the other implication of this, I think, of course, is, frankly, the spy agencies in the United States are going to have a little egg on their face, because they've been sort of hinting this is quite a big fish, and they've now let him slip off the hook.
And are the Pakistanis agents inclined to help the CIA in this matter, or be a mechanism for outing this individual and the tactics and the possibly botched operation that resulted in him ending up at the Pakistani embassy?
Well, they're in a difficult position. It's not really the Pakistani embassy, I suppose. Technically, it's a sort of outpost of the Pakistani embassy. There probably aren't any Pakistani diplomats there, though. They're kind of stuck in the middle here, really. They obviously have good relations with the United States. They also have good relations with Iran. That's why they're the protecting power for Iran in the United States. So I would think their best hope is that they could act as middlemen. There's already kind of talk, not much more than rumour or speculation, really, that maybe Iran's real aim in this is some kind of swap. And you'll remember, for example, that you've got your three American hikers, or alleged hikers, or reported hikers who are in Iran. So maybe there's a deal to be done.
Alleged spies from the Iranian perspective there.
John
Line, tell us more about how YouTube managed to put pieces of the puzzle together, or at least tantalizingly offer scenarios whereby we would understand more about Mr. Amiri.
Well, most of the videos have actually come out on Iranian TV, the first being the one in which Shahram Amiri said he was being held against his will in the United States. And then a YouTube video appeared, also apparently from the same person, saying quite the opposite. He was happily in the United States of his own free will. So, YouTube's just been part of this puzzle, really.
And the Iranians being so forthcoming about this, is that a suggestion that this guy may have no real scientific value, or is it just a generic kind of saber-rattling from the Iranians?
Oh, I think a couple of things, possibly, mainly, probably, propaganda from them. They think they can now prove what they've been arguing all the way along, is that he was kidnapped and taken against his will. But secondly, if they do want to do a deal, I suppose they need to announce his presence there.
Finally, is there a peep from the United States on this at all? And if it should all come out and be confirmed in some way, how much pressure will the U.S. be under to basically acknowledge that something has taken place here?
Well, interesting. I know exactly. I think we're going to wait and see when the various briefings happen later today, obviously State Department and so forth, whether they have much to say. I mean, I guess if he had originally defected, one would imagine they would have video footage of him, you know, happily talking to them and, you know, in a way that shows that he hadn't been taken against his free will. So that would be the obvious tactic for them to pursue. And the other thing they need to decide is whether they're going to just let him happily swan off to the airport and fly back to Iran, or whether, as I suspect more likely, they're going to refuse it and try and demand a diplomatic price.
But John Line is the Tehran correspondent. You have all the calendars and the timelines there in front of you. Is this the kind of an operation that would have taken place under Obama's watch, or is this part of the legacy of the Bush era?
No, he disappeared in June 2009, so we're talking still about the Obama era. I mean, somebody said to me earlier today, does the United States do this kind of thing? I mean, obviously we know about renditions and Guantanamo Bay, but I think this would be of a different order if it were proved to be the case that the United States had indeed kidnapped him, kidnapped a scientist against his will.
With Obama and Leon Panetta's fingerprints all over it to some extent, if it turns out to be true. John Line, thanks so much. John Line is a BBC Tehran correspondent speaking with us from Cairo, Egypt, about the whereabouts of an Iranian nuclear scientist who showed up at the Iranian intersection of the Pakistani embassy in Washington. The supposition is, or the suspicion is, he may have been originally kidnapped by the Saudis in Mecca and kidnapped and brought to the United States as a defector.